Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have to be honest, the best sermon I've ever heard on this passage came from Rachel's dad, Grady Parsons. It's 4 sentences, 17 words long, but it's the most concise and accurate summary that I know. Grady says, "Get in the boat, go across the lake. There will be a storm. You will not die." That's the message, isn't it? But it's so very difficult to live out. Get in the boat, go across the lake. There will be a storm. You will not die. Now, you've heard this story before, I expect. The disciples cross the Sea of Galilee with Jesus at night when a big storm comes up. The waves are so high that the boat is taking on water. The disciples, most of whom are experienced fishermen, are terrified, which gives you some idea of the magnitude of the storm. They look around to find Jesus asleep on a cushion at the back of the boat. They wake him up and ask, "Master, do you not care that we are perishing?" In other words, "Jesus, do you see what's going on here?" That question is probably motivated by 2 factors. 1, they are truly afraid for their lives and hope Jesus can do something about it. And 2, I bet they're more than a little irritated that Jesus is not as worked up about this storm as they are. When I'm in full-on panic mode, I need everyone else panicking alongside me. The last thing I want is for someone to tell me to calm down. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He commands the wind and the waves to stop, and then he turns to the disciples and asks, "Why were you afraid?" I have to think they were simultaneously relieved and irritated. But that's the way we usually hear this story. Jesus is stronger than the storms of life, and we need to have faith, and it will all be okay in the end. And that's not a misreading of this text in any way, and it's not in any way untrue. Hard to live out, maybe, but not wrong. But reading again this week, I heard something that might be more terrifying than the wind and the waves. It's right there in the first sentence. Jesus says, "Let us go across to the other side." And when the story opens, Jesus is teaching at the shore of the Sea of Galilee near Capernaum. Capernaum is up on the northwest corner of the lake in a predominantly Jewish area. It's where Jesus calls his first disciples, and the area is home to most of them. It's familiar, in other words, comfortable. Jesus has been teaching there for the last 2 chapters of this gospel. Mark makes note of the people who gather to hear him. A great multitude followed him. A crowd came together again. A crowd was sitting around him. A very large crowd gathered around him. So Jesus has gained some notoriety, and the disciples are basking in reflected glory. Fishermen and tax collectors are now big shots, and there's an undeniable level of comfort. They know people. They are known by people. The message is getting a lot of traction. And that's when Jesus throws a wrench into the whole thing. Let us go across to the other side. Now, if you know anything about the geography of the Middle East, you know that the Jordan River runs straight north to south. Its headwaters are at Mount Hermon between Syria and Lebanon, and then it flows into the Sea of Galilee. Then the river continues south until it empties into the Dead Sea. But as was the case 20 centuries ago, the Jordan River is the boundary line between Israel to the west and Jordan to the east. So when Jesus says, "Let us go across to the other side," the disciples know exactly what that means. The other side of the lake is Gentile territory. The other side of the lake is where they live, those people, the ones who are not like us, maybe even our enemies. And Jesus says, let's leave this comfortable place and reach out to people who are so unlike us that they terrify us. Let's leave this place where everyone looks like us and talks like us and agrees with us, and let's go across the lake and see how big God's good news really is. Let us go across to the other side. Now, if those were terrifying words to disciples 2,000 years ago, they seem nearly impossible today. Not only our world, but our nation, our community, even our churches are fractured along lines of us and them. It grieves me that this pandemic could have been a 9/11 moment that united this country around health and wellness for all its citizens. Instead, it has become one more point of contention that has pushed us even farther apart. Rather than working for the common good, so much of what I hear from every direction is little more than me, 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 my needs. I can't tell you the number of emails that pass my desk saying, if you don't do X, or if you do X, and X may be 100 different things, but it always reflects the personal agenda of the sender. One of our elders told me about another community organization their family is involved in. She knows of two other families who left the organization in the last year. One because COVID protocols were not being followed, another because they were too strict. And by each of us insisting on getting our own way, we have turned this into an absolute lose-lose. Now listen, you need to know that I am preaching to myself here, because I am convinced that my ideas are the best and that we would all be in much better shape if everyone did what I want them to. Me, 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 my needs, my way. But that's not the gospel. The gospel always says, let us go across to the other side. Let's build bridges instead of walls. The other side may be those who hold different political views. It may be those who refuse to mask or those who shame others for not masking. It may be those who think the session is rushing foolishly into reopening, or it may be those who wonder why in the world it took us so long. Can we let go of all of that? Can we move forward together, us, into whatever God is calling us to next? Can we go to the other side, even if it's just the other side of the dinner table, to talk to the family member who, from our perspective, is misguided about this or any of 100 other issues? Can we stay in this gospel boat together and see where it takes us? Back in the 1870s, the British Navy began using a modern version of a very ancient instrument called a bosun's whistle. It's used much the way a bugle might be used in other branches of the military to rouse troops in the morning and to pipe them down at night. Its use is largely ceremonial, but it is also used when voice orders cannot be heard over the sounds of sea or wind or battle. The bosun's whistle is so high-pitched that it can be distinguished easily from any other noise on deck, even in stormy weather. In the British Navy, the bosun's whistle is also known as the still whistle. If something happens aboard ship that requires immediate attention, the still whistle is blown. It calls the crew to a moment of silence to await the next order. When sailors hear the whistle, they know it means stop, don't panic, don't react right away. Stop for a moment to collect yourself and then do the wise thing. Because the storm is still raging and it's going to take all of us, paddling, bailing, trying not to panic. It's going to take all of us working together. So get in the boat. Go across the lake. There will be a storm. Listen for the still whistle. God's got this. We will not die. Amen.